Welcome to Expert Insights Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Expert Insights is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on your professional and personal success, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, top coaches, world stage speakers, thought leaders, thriving entrepreneurs and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Branch, and I'm here today with Linda Dyer. Linda Dyer is a highly sought-after speaker, and she's a powerful personal and professional motivator. Linda is also a number one international best-selling author. Hundreds and thousands of people around the world have paid to see Linda Dyer in person and to hear her speak in small, intimate settings or even in monster-sized auditoriums. And that's initially where I first saw you, Linda Dyer, was in a big auditorium, and I was so impressed with you. So I want to say welcome to our show today. How are you doing?
Thank you very much, Rhonda. It's an absolute privilege to be here and be talking with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Linda, for empowering so many people around the world, and it's our pleasure to have you here with us today. So, Linda, I want to start out by asking you, how did you come to your passion and purpose in life? Your passion is so strong.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think sometimes when we're born, we have an inkling of what we're here for, and then stuff gets in the road. Because when I was a little child, I decided I was going to be a missionary. I was gravitated towards listening to what women, powerful women, did. I would watch movies specifically about missionary women or women that governed things or made things or changed things. And I decided that I'd like to be one of those women of change. And I started to follow an Aboriginal woman here in Australia who was, well, she was Aboriginal, a woman, and a famous tennis player. And I became a tennis player just by copying her, because I figured being Aboriginal was tough to get anywhere, being a woman was tough to get anywhere, and being a famous tennis player was tough. So if you can do all of those things, then we've got to be able to do that as well. And so she inspired me. And I've yet to let her know that she has been my model for behavior. And I think I sort of knew that I could do really anything if I put my mind to it. So I was raised very conservatively by my father, who was raised by his grandmother in England, and my mother, and they both came out of the war. I was one of seven children, so we were raised with not so much money on a farm, but I decided that I wanted more of whatever life could bring me, and I was continually seeking more. And so I realized that, you know, if I wanted to do something, I could. I became that tennis player. And then at school, I wanted to go to university. And I worked four jobs for 4 years, and I became that university student. And then while I was at university, things happened. I dressed up as a man and went to England to find my dad's family, because I just figured I could. And I was really testing the universe, I think. And I had a passion to experience life. And it was like nothing really got in my way. So that gave me, I mean, or in fact, even if something did get in my way, I had enough passion and purpose to make it happen anyway. So when I missed out by going to university here by 2 marks, I worked four jobs for 4 years and put myself through university. So I never let anything stop me from my passion. And so I think somewhere deep inside of us, we do know, but I think somewhere we allow life to get in the road, and then it keeps presenting itself, the passion and the purpose. And I think mine was to teach. From a little kid, I was teaching other people how to do something, you know, like play tennis or cricket or soccer or hockey. I ran sports camps at university. The teacher realized I had quite an ability, and he asked me to teach his class, and that was just astounding for me. So I think my passion and purpose as a teacher was to get better, be a better teacher, so that if I had information to share, it was the best information I could muster at the time. But my biggest fear was public speaking, so I let my fears, which I think a lot of people do, get in the way of actually, you know, coming into my own, coming into that passion and purpose. And so one day I just decided that I had to let that fear go, and it was huge, and now I teach people how to speak.
Wonderful.
And my passion, of course, is to speak and to speak up and to, yeah, and I think the essence is to share. I think the biggest thing about speaking is that we get ourselves in the road, whereas the essence of speaking is to share the information that you have, and I think you have an absolute right to share that. So, you know, I learned not to get me in the road.
Absolutely wonderful. Linda, tell us about your latest number one international bestseller.
Well, you know, just feel absolutely blessed to have met Vicky and all you ladies and the team that's there, because I always, my mother went to the grave with the music in her, as they say, and I think at the end it was like she said, I just never wrote that book I wanted to write. And so I promised her at her funeral that I would write the book she never wrote. And my first book came out 10 years ago, and it's called Good Grief, because I didn't know how to get through the grief of my mother dying and my dog dying and my best friend dying and my doctor partner dying. There were six people who died in 6 months, and it was like, how do people get through that? And so not only did I get through it, but I wrote about it, and my dog sent me the message. And so I wrote the book as if it was my dog saying, stop focusing on my death, focus on what we were in your life. And it was such a brilliant message. So I started laughing at the things Mum and I did together. We were just like the best of buddies. And then my dog, and I started writing. And in the back of my book is Mum in heaven, and my dog's on her lap. And when it arrived after I'd completed it, I cried, because that was my promise to my mother, that I would write that book she never wrote. And that was the beginning of my writing journey. I started doing newsletters for people in the fitness industry, and that I started to write. I would write articles on fitness and health and the women's body and how we could make change. And as I was changing, I taught other people how to. And then Vicky rang me up one day because somebody had recommended that Vicky contact me. And I just cried, because things overwhelm me with kindness. I get overwhelmed with kindness. And when Vicky asked me to be a chapter in her book, and then another book and another book, it was just like that, oh my gosh, she's so kind. And then my friend started to say to me, we don't want everybody else's story, we want your story. I went, oh, okay then. So it took me a year to write my story, because I have done so much. Even writing it exhausted me.
I bet.
So every chapter was, you know, like when I dressed up as a man to go to England to find my dad's family, or when I hitchhiked across the Canadian Rockies at minus 35 to finish my degrees in America, or when I went to China to help them get over their earthquake and took my first book with me and had it translated, and now I sponsor a village in Africa. So every chapter is absolutely full on, because that's how I lived my life. So the year I wrote that book, I needed some time out at the end of it. But it's gone, you know, it's been an amazing book, and I'll always be grateful for Vicky spurring me on to write that book. And then now I seem to write a book a year. It just flows. Last year I wrote my How You Heal Your Autoimmune System, and that also went international bestseller. And that book has gone ballistic. So now the three books that I wrote by myself go out on every table, in every talk that I do, and I'm just ordering more after more after more. So, and this was my dream. I had a dream that I would be signing books in a shopping centre for people to share my information and for people to tell me the changes they were making in their life because they'd read my stories or they'd read about how to heal their immune system. And that's exactly what's happening. So I'm just feeling absolutely blessed that I'm living my passion and purpose in my life.
That is so amazing. So, Linda, what do you hope readers will take away from your books?
Even if they read, you know, like with the How You Can Make It Happen book, that is to get people thinking differently. And I guess that's what I want people to do with my books, is to think differently. You know, thinking about doom and gloom and that we can't do anything is absolutely incorrect. Why on earth, if there was one sperm out of a trillion that were in place when you were born and you're the one that survived, why on earth would you be born today and then be told to limit yourself? It doesn't make sense. So the universe chose you to be that baby, that infant born on the planet. And so I believe it's up to us to make the most out of every moment that we're here. And so that's why I label my books How You Can Make It Happen. Because if we think about why we can't make things happen, and I tell you, there's a lot of reasons that people may put in front of them as to why they can't make it happen. And money and time would be the two biggest ones. But I've got to understand that if you keep putting things in front of you, it takes a lot of energy from us to keep jumping over those obstacles and hurdles that we put in front of us. And so we have very little energy left in pursuing that passion and purpose we were put on the planet for. So why don't we just go next to the obstacles? Because they're not reality. They're a perception of reality. If you were to turn left and look at your past and you think about your past, why on earth would you allow that to affect your future? It's in the past. So it's a perception. And why I know that is because seven family members got up and spoke at my mother's funeral, all brothers and sisters. And you would have thought we were raised on different planets. We all had a totally different perception of our life with our mum.
Mm.
So that's a perception of our past. It's not reality. If you look at the future, the same thing happens. It's a perception of what we want in the future or what we think we can't have. So really, all you have is now. So what I want from people to take away from my books is make the most of now. Just think about how can you make something happen. If you really want to go and do something, and you don't have to think about the how. That is not your job. That's the universe's job. You just really want to do it. Like, I wanted to be that missionary, or I want to be that best teacher, or I want to be signing books around the world because then I know I'm getting my message out. I want to be on TV. Now, that's a scary thing for most people, and it was scary for me. But when I was asked to go on TV, I went, okay then, because now I'm absolutely focused on sharing the message rather than getting involved in my ego about, you know, how old I am or I wouldn't look good enough or what have you, and stop myself from doing what I was meant to do while I'm here on the planet.
That is absolutely powerful. And I know a lot of our listeners today are just getting so excited about everything that you're saying. I'm interviewing you, Linda, and I'm getting excited. And Linda, how did you come up? I know you told me how you came up with Good Grief. How did you come up with the titles of your other books?
Well, How You Can Make It Happen, it was interesting because I had a meeting with a guy who I was friendly with, him and his wife and two sons, he came to my business meetings, and he wanted to come and have a coffee with me because he'd written the book. And yeah, I think he wanted to see if I could help him promote it. But anyway, we had a coffee, and I said, look, I want to write my book. And I said, I'm just really unsure about the title. And that was stopping me from writing my book because I wasn't sure what to call it. And I wanted to call it Purpose and Passion. I wanted to call it a whole bunch of things. And people said, no, that doesn't resonate. Blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, that's easy. You've got to call it How You Can Make It Happen Now. He said, because you say that all the time.
Right.
So it was that easy. It was somebody else outside who gave me the idea. He said, when you stand up and you speak at business meetings, anything, all you talk about is how people should make it happen. Why on earth would you waste energy thinking about why you can't? It's wasted energy. So he said, that should be the title of your book because that's how you live your life.
Wow.
I went, all right then. And once I had that in my head, then off I went. And I started with how I made it happen on the farm. You know, I didn't like being on the farm. My dad thinks I had a ball on the farm because I made it happen. But I didn't like being on the farm. I wanted to be a famous tennis player. And how on earth could I do that while we lived on the farm? But I made it happen. And then, you know, I missed out on going to uni. So how did I make it happen to get to uni? Well, I worked four jobs for 4 years and I made it happen. I went to University of Oregon in America and I did extremely well over there. I got straight A's. Why? Because I'm passionate about being there. I want to be there. And then I need to get a fieldwork experience. So I don't know anyone in America. How can I do that? But I know someone in Canada and he said, why don't you come up here and run my swimming school because you need an administrative experience. And I said, okay. And I'm thinking, how can I make that happen? He lives on the other side of Canada and it's minus 35. And I went, I'll just hitchhike. And my friend goes, you must be crazy. And I said, well, I don't know what minus 35 feels like. I'm from Australia. I only know what plus 35 feels like. I've got a jumper, so I'll wear that. And I've got a plastic jacket, so I'll wear that. And she said, I better come with you. So she said, I need to do the fieldwork placement as well. So the two of us went, I've never hitchhiked before, and I've never hitchhiked since. But you know what? All I could think about was completing my degree. And I wasn't going to let minus 35 or an avalanche in Banff stop me. It's just that easy, you know. And we made it. We started on Friday and we turned up on Monday and the meeting was Monday. It was perfect. Everything works out.
Yep. You definitely can make it happen. That is a wonderful story. And Linda, do you have to travel much concerning your books?
I travel a lot. You know what? But I love to travel. And when I was in the fitness industry years ago, I thought, I'll take my knowledge to the people. So I set up a program called Workshops on Wheels. And instead of all these people coming down to me in Sydney to learn, I said, why don't I come up to you? It's going to be a lot cheaper for your people to pay for me to go to you. And so traveling has become a part of my life, really. So, yes, with my books, it was a joy to be back on the road again. So I've started to travel around Australia, and, of course, it's become so popular that once people see me, they want to ask me back, and that's what's happening. It's like painting the Harbour Bridge in Sydney. Once you get to the end, you start again. So yeah. I just finished a whole tour. We have a state between New South Wales and Victoria, and along that border is a river called the Murray River, and there's towns on both the Victorian and New South Wales side. It'd be like travelling down the Rogue River between Oregon and California, which I've done in a raft. And so I was invited to go down there and talk to the women and the men in every town. What a joy. I mean, I take my 92-year-old dad with me. He comes with me. He thinks it's absolutely wonderful. And I have them laughing because I think people are very funny. I think we're hilarious. We want to make great change, but we're not prepared to do anything differently. So I get them laughing at themselves, and they come and buy my book. After Victoria, I've done stuff in Sydney. I went to Western Australia and right up to Geraldton in the middle of Western Australia. And people came in their droves. I get booked out. So then I've come back, and guess what? I'm starting again. So this week I've done nothing but plan to go right around Australia again. I'm doing Sydney next week, and then I start again in Victoria, and then I go to Perth in Western Australia, and then all the way up to Geraldton again, and then I go to South Australia, and I've been invited also to go to India. So I absolutely travel because I want the message out. I want to show people that this isn't just a bunch of research that I did by studying a whole bunch of books. I physically did what I'm asking you to do in my book. I did everything that you read in every book. I don't write about other people's stuff. I write about what will I include research. By all means, I've included people that I believe are backing up my part of the story. But I'm also telling you that how you can make it happen, all those chapters, I made those happen. Whether it's sponsoring a village in Africa or helping the people in China after an earthquake or hitchhiking or dressing up as a man to go to England to find my dad's family, I did that. And I'm just sharing with you those stories so that you can say, you know what? If you can do that, I can do that. And that's exactly what it's about. If anyone can do it, anyone else can do it.
That is just so wonderful to hear. And I want our listeners to know that I met Linda Dyer's dad, and he is just a wonderful man. He was just so pleasurable. His personality, I mean, he was like the king of the conference. I think it was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I met him during the Emmy Awards.
Oh, okay, I remember that.
Yeah.
The hot air balloon.
Yeah,
and I took my dad. I took my 90-year-old dad with me. Yeah.
Yeah, because my husband finally asked me, he said, are you trying to make Linda's dad your boyfriend? I said, yeah, I like him because he was so sweet. He was so sweet. And every time he saw me, Linda, you know, he'd stop and say something to me and my husband, and we'd talk. And it was just such a blessing to see you and your dad and the wonderful relationship that you have made happen. You know, it was just a blessing for everyone to see him at that conference. You know, and a lot of people
We were starting on a world trip then. So that was our first port of call. And then we flew out on the Saturday, and I was literally speaking the minute I landed in London, and my poor dad's running through the airport. And he met a woman. It was so funny, in one of my talks in England, and she said, I'm coming to Ireland, you know, and he said, oh, yeah, right. And she turned up.
Oh, my goodness, how wonderful.
I know, he got such a shock because he thought she was joking. And we went to Ireland and Scotland, and I was speaking all around the world, and he was blessed to come with me because even at 90, you know, how can you make it happen? Life doesn't stop just because we get a bit older. You know, life just goes on.
Yes, it does. And Linda, what impact would you like to see your books have on the world?
Well, I know we can't change anybody, and I absolutely believe that. Like, I'm a master trainer as a coach, and I coach people every day of the week. I don't change anybody. They change. What I would like is to instigate a lot of change, is to get people thinking differently, so that they can make the changes that they feel they would like to make to be whoever it is they would like to be in this world. Because I think life's too short to not be who you were meant to be on this planet and to feel good about who you are already, because who you be is really important, and the actions you take then will lead you to having whatever you want. It's very calming. It's not often taught. There's a lot more, I think, taught about what you need to do, the actions you need to take, rather than you are already amazing. And to believe that and see how you can take that amazing part of you and put it into action. What is it you want to do? If you didn't know about the how, and if you didn't need to worry about the money, what would you love to do out there in the world. So for me to be an author, for me to be that speaker that's sharing my message with the world, I've got another book in my head for this year already called Creating Confident Kids, and people are saying, quick, get that one out. You know, it's about, yeah, like sharing. For me, family is really important, having time with my son, my dad, my sisters, and then I'm off and running again. And if my dad says I'd like to come, then I just take him. If he wants to hang back and hang out with his friends at the retirement village, then he stays. You know, it's just about making that change to do whatever it is that you want to do, rather than holding yourself back in some way because someone told you you weren't good enough or you don't deserve it and you started to believe it. My job is to help you release the limitations that you have put in place and for you to just go forward in whatever it is that you want to do.
That's just absolutely wonderful. And I know a lot of our listeners are hearing and getting a lot from what you have to say today, Linda. It's truly inspired me. I did have one more question that I did want to ask you, which is about the covers on your book, especially Good Grief. I want to know who designed your covers. Who came up with that concept?
On the last two books with their photos?
Yes.
Yeah. When I turned, I think it was 50, I had an image consultant, and she suggested I get a whole bunch of professional photos done. And I went ahead and did that, and it was so funny because something happened while I was getting the photos done, and the photographer said to me, and it was with another person, so the photographer said to me, why don't we just muck around, which is have a play, mm-hmm. And he said, just do something, like, sexy for me, you know. And I'm telling you, I was the shyest person on the planet, remember? I couldn't speak. I wouldn't even go up and get awards because I was so fearful of speaking. So I thought, oh, I'll just muck around with him. And I put my hand down on my head down on my hand, and I went, oh, whoa. And he took it in black and white. And it became one of the photos in the series of five that he took. Well, that photo, my son, because I wouldn't know how to do this, my son put it out on one of my Facebook sites, and when Vicky saw it, she said, I want that photo on that book.
Oh, my goodness.
So I have a wonderful, wonderful friend called Michelle, and she manages my website, and she makes those covers for me. She's a very, very beautiful lady, got a lovely family, and she does an amazing job. So all I've got to do is say to her, hey, I'm going to do a kid's book, and I'll leave her with that, and she'll go ahead. In the book, I actually had a vision driving in the car one day that when you have lupus, it's like you're caught up in your cocoon, and then you start to break out. And I had this vision of a butterfly breaking out of its cocoon, and I went, oh, my gosh. If I could do that in each of the sections of my book, you know, have a butterfly in each of the stages of development. And so I literally just rang her and I said, I've got this scathingly brilliant idea. Would you create it for me? And that's what I do. I just ring her and she creates it. And so inside the book, when I'm talking about why people have lupus and why people get sick, I've got a butterfly caught up in its cocoon. And then what is lupus? It's that understanding that I'm starting to understand what this is. Then I've got the butterfly gradually breaking out. In the next chapter, how do we get better? The butterfly is really starting to break out. And the last section of the book where it says, so what if I could change my mindset and change my life? The butterfly is flying free. And that just came to me as a thought. Well, once I have the thought, I literally just contact Michelle. And she just creates it for me.
That's wonderful. Michelle,
so that's what she does. She's a graphic designer. But where right. You know, you meet people that are just absolutely in sync with your energy. And
right. And she sounds like the type of artist that knows when you say, here's my vision, she just connects with you and it all works out. That's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Linda Dyer, thank you so much for being our guest today. It has been an honor and a privilege to have you on our show today. So can you please tell our listeners out there how they can connect with you?
Sure. My website is www.mindpowerglobal.com.au for Australia. That's mindpowerglobal.com.au. And if you go on the website, you just put your name and your email address, and you can get all my free product that you were talking to me about earlier, Rhonda, that you loved. And you can download that and start educating yourself in making great change.
Absolutely wonderful. If you want to make it happen for the rest of your life, check out Linda Dyer. Make sure you go out and buy her books. If you want to make it happen, Linda Dyer is the person to listen to. Believe me, I've been listening to Linda Dyer before today and after today, and I'm going to continue to make it happen in my life with Linda Dyer. Thank you so much for joining us, Linda. And if you would like to discover more about Expert Insights Publishing and our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global communities and broadcasts, go to GETEI.com. Everybody, have a wonderful week. And again, remember, as Linda Dyer says, go out and make it happen. If she can do it, you can do it. Have a great week.